Ladies, good evening, and welcome to Project Irresistible 2014, Session 1. My name is Dr. Ali Benazir, and I'll be guiding you through these six sessions to bring you to a point where you can design the love life that you want, what really fulfills you, what brings joy to your life, as opposed to being resigned to what you can get, which is the way of 2013 and before that. And I want to start with a story. This is the story of Paxton. Paxton is the son of two of my close friends. And I'll never forget one day when he was sitting on my lap some time ago. And I just look at this kid's blue eyes, like the clearest blue you've ever seen. And it felt like I was looking through the eyes of infinity. I don't know if you ever had that feeling when you look into the eyes of an infant. But this was an amazing experience. And it was especially poignant because this kid was born 2 months premature. Okay. He was just 2 pounds at birth. And they had to take him to the neonatal intensive care unit. And, you know, heroic measures had to be taken. Everyone thought he was going to die. Every day was a struggle. But he made it through. And now he's a bouncy baby. He's a healthy kid. Very intelligent, quite rambunctious, right? And everybody thinks of Paxton as a miracle. They look at him and like, this is a miracle. This is amazing. And we call all babies a miracle, right? I mean, it starts out as a little bump in mom's tummy and becomes a whole person, right? You see that in the baby. Now, here's a little mental experiment for you. What if that baby were to multiply its weight by a factor of 20? Go from 6 pounds to 120 pounds. And what if that baby, just by catching syllables wafting through the air, could recreate the entire English language and use it perfectly with correct grammar? And what if it could learn how to talk, walk, run, climb, write, drive a car, write a resume, get a job? That would be pretty remarkable, wouldn't it? I mean, that would be, you know, perhaps even more miraculous than just the baby. I mean, if you could go on for 20, 30, 40 years, and in spite of hail, sleet, snow, danger, accidents, in spite of all of that, survive and be here right now before you, wouldn't that be even more miraculous? I mean, it's all the miracle of the baby plus another 20, 30, 40 years of miracles, right? Well, guess what? That's you, okay? You, as you are sitting there, are the culmination of all those events. Every single one of you started out as a single cell. Every one of you started out as a bump in your mom's belly. Every one of you was completely helpless for the first 4 years of your life, and some even up to 20. You may think you're still helpless, right? But you'd be mistaken, because you are a miracle, right? So you must acknowledge the miracle that you are, okay? That's where we start this course. So let's jump right in and do an exercise. This is exercise 2 out of the Tao of Dating. It's called Your Highest Vision of Yourself. And the only difference between this version and the one in the book is we're going to actually do this one guided by yours truly. So here we go. Take a deep breath and close your eyes. Imagine yourself as a child, maybe 7 years old. Remember then how badly you wanted to grow up and be tall and go places like grown-ups and be able to drink from the water fountain without a problem and reach high shelves and the cookie jar and maybe even drive a car. Remember that feeling of inadequacy that you had then and how you just couldn't wait for all these really cool things to happen for you to be a grown-up, right? Now bring a picture of your current adult self into the scene and give your child self a big hug saying, hey, told you is all going to be just fine. And feel that deep compassion and acceptance that you give to your child self. That deep compassion and acceptance that child self needed so badly. And now, I invite you to imagine a third version of yourself. A version from the future that embodies all the accomplishments and goals that you are seeking right now. What does that person look like? Really take the time to notice her voice, her gait, her demeanor. How does she look and sound? How does it feel to be her? Now that future you, let her come in and give the present you a big hug, okay? Saying, it's all going to be all right. In the same exact way that you hugged the 7-year-old you. Okay, so take the time to really create that picture of the future you, because that's what we're working towards. That future you, which has all the empowerment and all the fulfillment that you're seeking right now. In the same way that that 7-year-old kid wanted to have all those things. Now, let the three pictures of you from the past, present, and the future merge into one another, leaving an image of that highest version of yourself. And realize that it is you right now. When you feel the empowering feelings that that brings, when you really feel it, when you're in there, go ahead and give your left fist 2 squeezes. Make a fist with your left hand and make 2 squeezes. Boom, like that. Okay? What that does is that anchors that feeling of empowerment to that motion of squeezing your fist twice. It's called anchoring. And from now on, all you have to do to bring that empowering feeling back is to repeat that double fist squeeze, just like that. All right, great. So that exercise is worth doing and perhaps worth repeating, maybe even doing daily, because this course is about transformation. I call it Project Irresistible because it's about removing resistance in your life, removing conflict in your unconscious mind. It's not just about you becoming irresistible to men, which is a nice byproduct, and that would be nice. But remember that that is an external thing, and no matter how great the guy is that you find, that's something that can be taken away from you. Divorce, death, accident, change of heart, right? What I want to give you is something that cannot be taken away from you, okay? I want you to be irresistibly moving towards your higher self, the best, most radiant, joyful, compassionate, sensual, empowered, and, yes, beautiful version of you. And there's nothing in the world can stop you from moving towards that, because that version of you is already inside. It's just waiting to be revealed. And the irony of this whole course is that I can't teach you anything you don't already know. Especially as a guy, I'm definitely not in a position to tell you how to be more of a woman. That's just kind of laughable. I can only lead you to the door of your own wisdom and show you it's always been there. And also maybe be encouraging to trust yourself a little bit more. And also remember what the Buddha said. The Buddha said, believe nothing, no matter where you read it or who said it, unless it agrees with your reason and your own common sense. That's the principle of ehi pasiko. And he's basically saying, hey, question authority, test everything, check it out for yourself. Be open to everything, but attached to nothing. Okay? So these are the ground rules that we're starting out with. And to make this happen for you, you need to do stuff, okay? Just listening to me is not going to make a difference. Taking really good notes is not going to make a difference. Reviewing the notes, even, is not going to make a very big difference. Just passively reading or listening ain't going to cut it. So that's why we have exercises on the calls, which you're going to do in real time with me watching over you. We'll have projects that you're going to be doing at home. And really, the way to think of me in this capacity as your instructor is that I'm like a personal trainer. We go to the gym and I show you how to do the exercises. And afterwards, you're energized, your muscles are a little sore, you're like, yeah, that was great. And then I'm gone. I taught you what the exercises are, you know how to do them, you know how frequently to do them, and then you're basically on your own. So I'm going to be with you for 6 weeks. You've been doing whatever you've been doing for the past 10, 20, 30 years. Those are some pretty well ingrained habits. So I'd like to think I'm a miracle worker, but in the end, I'm going to need some help from you. And the help I need from you is to actually do these things to retrain your own brain. And that's the amazing thing about the brain is that it can retrain itself. You can develop new habits of thought and action. You can rewire your own neurology, which is another miracle if you think about it. So you must commit to doing the exercises. Just paying me money and listening and even taking notes, not enough. So when I tell you, you go to a new venue once a week from now on. You get rid of the bathroom scale and the women's magazines. You use your new flirting skills all the time actively. You compliment guys. You accept compliments graciously. This and all the other things I'm going to tell you, you have to do them. Okay. I'm going to also give you suggestions for how to change your lifestyle. Okay. So the be, do, have philosophy versus the have, do, be philosophy. That's a big part of it. We discussed that in the preview call, the whole idea that you want to first start from identity. If you want something in your life, you start by being a different kind of person, because the different kind of person says, hey, now I am an open, happy, involved, engaging person, so I'm going to do this, and because of these things that I do, these new actions that I take, then I'm going to have the results that I want. This is not about you suddenly being engaged to Mary in a week. This is about long-term change. Think time horizon of at least 6 weeks to change your neurology, and the idea that within a year, you're going to be a much more interesting, much more embodied, much more empowered version of yourself. And then for the rest of your life, you have that version of you. So it's really worth investing 6 weeks, you know, a month and a half of your life to turn these things around. At least get the information, start the practice, and when you notice that it feels good, you start doing more of it. Okay. Some of these suggestions may also seem a little radical, like getting rid of women's magazines. Hey, I love my Vogue fall issue, but guess what? If you really want to change, you have to change your behavior. You have to do new things. You must venture outside your comfort zone. And I will also submit to you that the more radical the suggestions seem, the more important and transformative it's going to be for you to do them. For example, stop watching TV. The more attached you are to it, the harder it's going to be for you to do that. Therefore, the bigger the imperative to do exactly that thing that's hard to do. Because everything that you want is outside of your comfort zone. I've mentioned this before, but you know, it's very simple. If there's something that's in your comfort zone, it's there because you either already have it or you have no desire for it. Everything that you desire, everything that you want, everything that constitutes growth and further empowerment is outside of your comfort zone. So if you're feeling uncomfortable doing something, that's a sign that you're doing it right. So I may be repeating some points, but like the story of the pastor that I shared with you in the preview call, I'm doing it because it bears repetition. Repetition is the branding iron of learning. And I'm also going to assume that everyone is starting from square one. No assumptions at all. And I repeat the basics because the basics are what are most important. John Wooden is the most winning coach, was passed away, unfortunately. And he was the most winning college coach of all time. And how did he get his results? He had his students, he had his basketball players practice the basics every day, dribbling, shooting free throws, thousands upon thousands of times. So, and they did it every day. Even though they were the best college basketball players in the nation, they still practiced the basics. So I'm going to hammer that, practice the basics every time until you get good at them. So here are the ground rules for these 6 weeks that we're going to spend together. Number one, you are interested and committed to transformation. The status quo is not good enough. Therefore, you're going to put the effort in, such that you will move beyond the status quo towards bigger and better results. Remember, your best thinking got you here. So you are accepting that you need new thinking, new habits of thought and action in order to get you to the next place that you really want to be, your highest vision of yourself. Remember that exercise. Number two, you are interested in long-term fulfillment and not just a quick fix. This is about the long haul. This is about the next 50 years of your life. If you set it up right, it's going to take care of yourself. If you don't set it up right, it's always going to be somewhat haphazard and not exactly the way you want it to be. And number three, you're interested in, or at least open to, both spirituality and science. So I come from a scientific background, and I've studied a lot of spiritual traditions from the East. and I found useful concepts in both of them. And if you're more on the spiritual side, consider this your introduction to science. If you are more on the scientific side, consider this an introduction to various spiritual concepts that you may find useful. The format for these is going to be, we're going to have a call, and that's going to start at the set time, and there will be occasional breaks for clarification, and then we're going to have a Q&A at the end. You may signal the fact that you have a question by pressing 5-star on your handset. So when you go 5-star, then you get your hand raised on my little control panel here that I know it's you, and I can call on you, and you can ask your question. So that's an efficient way of doing it, and I'll endeavor to stay for as long as people have questions. I've allotted about 50 minutes at the end. You're not obligated to stay for the questions, but generally when people raise questions, they're issues that everybody has, so I find that they're very enlightening. So I encourage you to stay for the entire Q&A session. And I'll endeavor to make the audio download of each call available within 24 hours for those of you who are not able to make the call. Again, optimally, you'd be able to make the live call. That way, we get to interact. You get to ask me questions. And also, it commits you to a set time, which means that it's much more likely that you actually get the class listened to. However, if you don't, it's not a disaster. You can listen to the recording, and that works too. And this first call is open to the preview audience. I'm glad to see some people on the call who had not registered yet. And I've done this before for the men's classes and for the women's classes. This is how you do it in college. You know, back at Harvard, we had shopping week. You'd drop into classes and see, hey, is this the kind of thing that would interest me and would benefit me? So I want you to get as true a feel for this as possible. And the only little sales item in here is if you want to get the $50 discount, the discount code is COMMIT, C-O-M-M-I-T. Yes, the word that men dread and women like. So if you like the word that much, go forth and commit. Okay. And I need you to participate. And I need you to do so with enthusiasm. If you could see me right now, I'm in my office all by myself talking to a blank white wall. This can be very unsettling sometimes. In fact, somebody saw me, they may think I'm nuts. So in order so I don't feel like I'm nuts, I need you to chime in when I ask you questions. That way it feels like I'm actually speaking to an audience. This keeps you awake, keeps me from going crazy. And also, you can ask up to 3 email questions per week. Just shoot them at me. If you have more, then I'm happy to accommodate you. But you know, that's about the right number, 2 to 3 questions a week. And this leads me to the course philosophy. The big overarching philosophy for the course is the be, do, have philosophy. And the idea is that in order to get results, you start at the level of identity. Who are you? What kind of energy are you carrying yourself with in the world? We want to start with the deep aspects of who you are. Because when you have the be part down, when you have the identity part down, the rest follows naturally. You don't have to remember anything, you just have to be someone. You don't have to use any tricks, you just have to embody that highest version of yourself. And one analogy I can use is that I'm giving you an address, okay? There's a destination for where you want to be. And once you have the resources, like say the internet, GPS, smartphone, and some basic skills down, you don't need to know about every left turn, about every construction site, about every time you have to brake or accelerate. You basically know how to get there once I give you the destination. So I'm going to give you a mental address for what you want to feel like and for what you want to be. And then I will trust that you will be able to get there. I'll give you the tools and you're going to be able to do it. It's absolutely essential that you trust yourself. So that brings us to the next exercise. This is exercise 5 out of the Tao of Dating. It's called Empower Yourself by Figuring Out Your Core Values. This is an essential exercise for figuring out who you really are. I mean, what do you stand for? What's important to you? And the whole idea of being irresistible is also about removing resistance, removing internal resistance, internal conflicts. Right now, if you're not getting the results that you want in life in any sphere of endeavor, it's probably because you've got inner conflicts. On the one hand, you value security. On the other hand, you value adventure and success. wait a sec, these things don't really work together, do they? Because if you want success, if you want adventure, you need to take risks, and risks and security do not really mesh. Or let's say you want, you know, a really great relationship, but at the same time, you don't want to be hurt. Well, guess what? Going out there and venturing into the waters of courtship, dating, is going to involve a certain degree of risk as well. And there's a pretty good chance you're going to get hurt. So instead of saying, well, I don't want to get hurt, you need to resolve that conflict and say, I acknowledge that there is pain involved in any kind of growth. Remember when you were a kid, your bones were growing, it hurt? Well, guess what? You reconcile yourself with that, and now your range of behavior has expanded. You are now able to go do things you weren't able to do before because it's mostly fear of fear that's holding you back. The actual pain is not that bad. If you're holding on, if you're trying to, you know, if you're protecting yourself in a little balled up, you know, tightness of protection, that's when you get hurt. If you're more flexible, if you're more resilient, actually things just kind of pass through you. So let's figure out your core values. What are your values in life? I'm going to give you a list, and I'll go through it slowly, and you can write them down, or you can just jot down what sounds right to you. You can also just go to the book and find exercise 5. And pick 10 values that you feel are most important to you. If there's a value that is important to you that you do not see on the list, feel free to add it on. So write down your 10 values, and once you've done the 10, signal that to me, signal to me that you're done by hitting 5-star on your phone, and that way I know you're done and we can move on to the second part of the exercise. So here we go. So here are some of the values: autonomy, courage, excellence, fulfillment, abundance, family, harmony, innovation, love, playfulness, self-actualization, problem-solving, uniqueness, beauty, creativity, excitement, fun, power, humility, helping, joy, mastery, revolution, self-reliance, creating change, vitality, caring, dignity, fairness, grace, kindness, education, honesty, justice, order, safety, service, synergy, wisdom, challenge, elegance, freedom, happiness, that's a good one, respect, bliss, humor, learning, perseverance, security, simplicity, truth, zest. So that's a bunch there. And maybe you could pick 10 of those from that list, or you could come up with 7 or 8 of yours. However you do it is fine by me. The idea is write down a bunch of stuff that fires you up, a bunch of values that mean a lot to you. And 10's a good number. Somewhere between 7 and 10 is a good number. And when you have a bunch of those, go ahead and raise your hand by hitting 5-star. I'll go through the list again. Autonomy, courage, excellence, fulfillment, abundance, family, harmony, innovation, love, playfulness, self-actualization, problem-solving, uniqueness, beauty, creativity, joy, excitement, fun, power, humility, helping, mastery, revolution, self-reliance, creating change, vitality. Okay, some of you are finishing up here. This is good. Caring, dignity, fairness, grace, kindness, education, honesty, justice, order, safety, service, synergy, wisdom, challenge, elegance, freedom, happiness, respect, bliss, humor, learning, perseverance, security, simplicity, truth, and zest. Okay, great. I'm seeing that many of you are finished up here. So now you have a list. You have a list of 7 to 10 of these values for your life. Now what I'd like you to do, what I want you to do, is to look at this list and decide if you could have just one of these, just one of them, which one would it be? And when you do that, put a one next to it. And now you're left with 9. And now what I want you to do is to look at the remaining 9 and say, okay, if I could have just one of these, which one would it be? And put a 2 next to it. You know where this is going. You're going to look at the remaining 8. If you could have just one of the remaining 8, which one would it be? Put a 3 next to it. And then go on down the list just like that and figure out all the rest of them, what order they are. And when you're done with that part, and you have them all in order, hit 5-star again. And while you're doing that, I'll open up the line, and if you have questions so far, you can ask me.
Conference unmuted.
Do you have questions so far about what I've covered? All right, so this should be a pretty intense exercise. In fact, most people go through their entire lives not doing anything like this. But it's hugely clarifying. When you do this,
conference muted.
When you do this, you see before your very eyes, like, aha, this is what actually matters to me. And another thing you may notice is that if you've been in relationships before that did not work, maybe it's because these things that really matter to you were not in that relationship because you weren't even aware of them. Most people's values are deeply unconscious even to themselves. Okay? Now, speaking of relationships, you have your list. And the next question I'm going to ask you is a tough one. The question is this: how many of those values can you provide in a relationship? That's interesting, huh? Because basically, you're saying these are the things that really matter to me. Okay? So the question is, how many of these are values that you're able to provide in a relationship? So go down your list, and if there are things in there that you think you could be providing more of, put a circle around it. And that's an area you may want to work on. Okay? And to build on that, we're going to do exercise 7. This is from page 69 or so in the Tao of Dating. So what I want you to do now is to write down everything about you that is interesting and attractive. Okay, so you did your values, and the hard question you asked yourself was, hey, first of all, am I honoring these in a relationship? Am I spending time with people who actually provide this to me, or have I been sacrificing them, right? The second is, are there conflicts? If I look at this prioritized list of values, are there things that clearly cannot work together? In which case, you know, we've got some work to do to resolve what those conflicts are. For example, you know, security and adventure, not going to work. And third, now extend this to the assets you can provide in a relationship. Okay, so what I want you to do is to Ask yourself, why would someone want to be with you right now? Okay? So write down everything about you that is attractive and interesting. And I don't care how trivial you think it is, just write it down. You sing well in the shower, put it down. You make a mean omelet, put it down. You can knit, put it down. You crack jokes, put it down. You laugh at other people's jokes easily, put it down. Put down everything. The whole point of this series of calls is for you to get these things which you've never done before, which may seem a little uncomfortable. And when you're on the call, and I'm telling you to do it, and you've got pen and paper, there's an outside chance that you may actually do it. So go ahead and write down this list. And the longer the list, the better. Keep on doing it. And when you are, when you've got like at least 20 things, when you think it's just getting too hard to come up with more stuff, I mean, come on, you're pretty darn wonderful. Write them down. Write them down all. This is a very important list. And if it feels like you're being too proud or it's just an exercise in hubris, great. Keep on doing it. Many of you are in business. When you're in business, you're used to doing things like due diligence. You're used to doing things like assessing the value of another company. Do we want to merge with this company? Do we want to acquire this company? Okay, so what are the reasons why a guy would want to acquire you or merge with you? So, you know, apply the same kind of analysis to you. And, you know, the list is going to be substantial right now. The idea is that you can make that list significantly longer just through sheer force of will. In a year, you can learn all kinds of things. You can adopt new habits such that that list is really, really long. Keep writing, I guess. This is a tough one. People are still at it. When you have a list that you're satisfied with, signal that to me with a little 5-star on your keypad. And that way I know when it's time to go on. Good. Okay, seems like most of you are getting through the exercise pretty well. And if I go by too quick, just come back to the exercise after the call and really sit down with yourself. And what I encourage everyone to do is to clear out the next 15 or 30 minutes after the call is done for yourself as well. Just, you know, instead of going straight back to the smartphone or email, something like that, just let it sink in for a while and take stock of the exercises you did and notice what you came up with and notice if there are surprises and notice the things that you circled that you may want to be working on and notice the relationship assets you came up with and take more time. In fact, I'm going to enforce another 2 minutes of doing this exercise so you come up with some hard ones, the ones that are not obvious. The ones that a really good friend of yours would say, oh, of course, you know, like Shelly, she's like this. Oh, yeah, Linda, she's totally like this. She's great. She does this part really great. All the praise you've ever heard in your life, all things you've ever done right, just put it down. I'm going to take another minute or so of this exercise so all of you can really work at it and just think. Why would somebody want to be with me? What do I bring to a relationship? And this is both a taking stock of what you already have and also an awareness of what else you could be adding, what more you could be bringing. Okay. And the purpose of this exercise is not necessarily pride or feeling like, ooh, I'm so great, or bring you down because, hey, you have these values and you don't bring them to the relationship. I encourage you to look at all this stuff as an observer almost. The next concept I'm going to talk about has a lot to do with that. It's called anatta, or no self. Okay, so this is a concept from Buddhism, and it's one of the foundational concepts in Buddhism. And one of the best ways I've found to explain it is through the metaphor of the river, which may be familiar with you if you've read the book Siddhartha by Hermann Hesse. And Heraclitus also talks about this, right? And he says, look, you never walk into the same river twice because it's never the same river and it's never the same you. Imagine you're looking at a river, right? Close your eyes and open them up again. Is it the same river? Well, every molecule of water moved. It's now somewhere else. So it's, in a way, not the same river at all. It's a brand new river. Even every molecule in its banks has moved somewhere else. And there's another thought experiment from Buddhism called the chopping the nose experiment, right? So it's a little gory, but very illustrative. So the parable says, hey, you know, if somebody came and like chopped off the tip of your nose, is the thing that's left still you, right? If you are standing there, but your tip of your nose is missing, is it still you? Like, well, yeah, kind of, yeah. Okay, great. Now let's lop off your right arm. Still you? Okay. Okay, let's lop off the other arm too. Still you? Okay, let's lop off two legs, half your torso. Let's keep on doing the lopping until there's just a little, you know, cube of flesh left. Is that you, or is that heap of stuff over there you? Well, I don't know. Is that cube you? I mean, what happened here? Where did you go? Or was there you to begin with? So the idea is that perhaps there is no physical substrate of you, right? And this whole idea of self is not a static thing. It changes every millisecond. It's like a flame of a candle. You look at it, you think it's the same flame, but it's really not. I mean, you see it quivering, you see it's burning new stuff. So the fixed self exists in the same way that candle light exists. It really does not exist at all, right? And if the self does not exist, then guess what? It cannot be humiliated. It cannot get disappointed. It cannot get elevated or denigrated. So when you do that exercise having to do with your values and also your assets, it's not about you feeling high or feeling low. It's about you being able to step back and say, aha, this is what's been happening. These are the ways that I've been defining myself. And that's interesting. Now let's work towards perhaps a new makeup of these things, which are highly dynamic. You did not have them when you were one. You did not have them when you were two. They were different from when you were 10 than when you were 18. And they're different now from when you were 18. Just like that whole highly dynamic concept of self, these features of you, these values, and these characteristics of you are also fluid, okay? So if you're not these things, then what are you? If there is no self, then what are you really? And I've got two ideas for you to work on. Again, test them on for yourself, see how you like them, see how they work for you, and run with it. Number one is you are a conduit. You're a conduit for abundance, grace, and right action. What does that mean? So abundance, it's kind of a paradoxical thing. The concept from abundance comes from the fact that you don't own anything, right? You can't own anything. You can't take it with you. You can't put your arm around the world and say, this is mine, right? You are a conduit for the abundance of the universe to pass through you. So think of yourself as an instrument of plenitude, grace, and abundance, right? All this food, all this joy, all these riches, you know, they come and they pass through you, and they pass through you to the degree that you allow it to pass through you. And this brings me to the concept of te. So you have the Tao Te Ching, so the te, the T-E in the middle, you can pronounce it te or de, doesn't really matter. It's not even our language. So te is right action. It exists in the moment, it's dynamic, it's responsive, and this is the thing that you have control over. right action, or virtue. And this is empowering. When you take right action, that's the source of your power. And what is the right action? The right action is the action that flows with the Tao. And what's the Tao? The Tao is the way of the universe. How you know you're in the Tao? You know you're in it when resistance is minimized, when things just kind of flow. That's really hard to describe, but all of you have felt it at some point, when something just feels right and it's easy. When you're in a hard relationship, it's quarreling all the time, you can't mesh your schedules, and, you know, parents aren't into it, right? When you're in a good relationship, it seems like everything just goes click, 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 and it works, and there's flow. So you must be sensitive to this notion of flow and ease, because de is the thing that aligns with the Tao. The right action aligns with the flow of the Tao. And remember that you are entitled to your actions, but not your results. And this is repeated in almost every discipline in Eastern wisdom. Definitely shows up in the Bhagavad Gita. It says, you are entitled to your labors, but not the fruit of your labors. So you get to own the day. The Tao owns the rest. So this involves a little bit of faith. You do the right thing, and you hope for the best. And sometimes, you know, you meet a guy, you do all the right things, and it still doesn't work out. Guess what? You still get to own the day. You did the right thing. And we're going to talk a lot about what that right thing is in very concrete terms in future classes. So that's one version of what self is. Self as conduit. You're the pipeline. Number two, second version. And this is a version that all spiritual traditions seem to agree upon. And that is the principle of non-duality, or Advaita in Sanskrit. I like to simplify things and make them easy to use. And when you use Sanskrit words and Chinese words, people are like, ah, what's that esoteric stuff? It's really not that tricky. The stuff you experience every day, so I'm here to translate it for you and make it easy to use. So the idea is that there's a ground of being. There's a basic essence from which all things arise. And people have a sense of that. It's like, okay, this thing is alive, that thing is alive. There's like essence of being alive, of things coming from a certain place. And it's very difficult to explain this in words. The only way to understand it is to experience it mystically, like the Buddha's enlightenment of the Bodhi tree. I mean, he's there and he felt it, and unless you also feel it, you don't really know where he's coming from. And if you want to delve deeper into this notion and the whole idea of self and what self is and who you really are, I refer you to a book by Alan Watts called The Book on the Taboo of Knowing Who You Really Are. And he wrote this for his daughter. And it's a pretty powerful book. It's intense. And it will provoke you to thought and reconsideration. In the meantime, something a little simpler and very accessible. From chapter 13 of the Tao Te Ching. Success is as dangerous as failure. Hope is as follow as fear. What does it mean that success is as dangerous as failure? Whether you go up the ladder or down it, your position is shaky. When you stand with your 2 feet on the ground, you will always keep your balance. What does it mean that hope is as hollow as fear? Hope and fear are both phantoms that arise from thinking of the self. When we don't see the self as self, what do we have to fear? See the world as yourself. Have faith in the way things are. Love the world as yourself. Then you can care for all things. When we don't see the self as self, what do we have to fear? That is truly profound. And this whole idea of anatta, when practiced, really practiced, understood, and embodied, can change everything. Imagine if you really were disappointment-proof. Imagine if you didn't fear rejection, if you didn't fear any number of things that have been holding you back so far in your life, in your business life, and everything. That is a transformative thing. Not taking anything personally. And it's also mentioned in Don Miguel Ruiz's Four Agreements, right? Not taking anything personally. Because it really never is personal. They don't know where you're coming from. You don't know where that person's coming from. Even that guy who seemed really mean and cut you off on the road, maybe he had a bad day. Maybe he heard his grandma passed away. You never know. It's never personal. Now, coming back to the whole idea of who you really are, the best description I've found comes from this Upanishad of the Hindu tradition, the Chandogya Upanishad. These have been around for thousands of years. And the story is that there is a sage, Aruni, and he's speaking to his son, Shvetaketu. So Shvetaketu has come back from university. He's full of knowledge, and he thinks he's got it down. He knows stuff. And so his dad, you know, throws a little loop at him, and then he gives him this little discourse. He says, "The bees, my dear son, prepare honey by gathering the nectar of different trees and reducing that nectar to a unity, so that the nectar from each different tree is not able to differentiate, I am the nectar of that tree, and I am the nectar of this tree. Exactly the same way, my son, when all creatures merge into reality, they are not aware that we are merging into reality. No matter what they are in this world, whether they are a tiger, a lion, a wolf, a boar, a worm, a moth, a gnat, or a mosquito, they all merge into that reality. That finest essence here is the self of the whole world. That is reality. That is the self. And that art thou, Shvetaketu." And that phrase, "that art thou, tattvam asi," is that's one of the foundational concepts of Buddhism. The fact that everything comes from the same essence, same life essence, same matter essence. Okay, that's nice. Now, how do we put some legs under? What is this good for? Nice, interesting, Chandogya Upanishad, great story. Well, I'm going to invite you to do a little meditation with me now. So, before we go into it, I've been talking about some heavy things here, so I'm going to open the call and see if you have questions. So let me clear the questions here. Great. So, if you have questions right now, put up 5-star, and I will call upon you. 5-star if you have questions. Okay, great. So if there are no questions, I'm going to dive right into the meditation. And this is what I call the Galactic Consciousness Meditation. Okay, so take a deep breath and close your eyes. And make sure that your phones are turned off. There are no distractions. Nobody's going to walk in. Close the door. This is for you. And imagine that you've become very, very small. You are so small that you are the size of a molecule of air. Now imagine that you are in outer space with nothing around you but the stars and the galaxies. You see them in all their vastness, glory, and beauty. Some are so far away that they just look like a ring or a disc in the distance. Some are close, and you can appreciate that there are 100 billion stars in a given galaxy, all of different sizes, luminosities, and shapes. They are all beautiful, all incredibly vast, unimaginably full of light, matter, and energy, radiating outwards into the rest of the universe. In the corner of one such galaxy, far, far away, you can discern a tiny blue dot, like a little marble. You start to move towards it, and for a long, long time, there's hardly anything in your way. There's the occasional bit of cosmic dust, but otherwise, it's just the vacuum of space. You get closer and start to discern features of the globe. Oceans, continents, swirls of cloud. Eventually, you get close enough to approach the Earth's atmosphere. Now remember, you are the size of a molecule of air. So when you encounter molecules of air, you notice them. And there's just a few of them at a time at first, and then more and more until you're basically engulfed in a sea of them. They're everywhere. You keep on zipping past them, getting closer to the Earth's surface. Gradually, you are engulfed by molecules of matter everywhere. You're totally swimming in them. Now, as you approach the Earth's surface, you see a figure who has a striking resemblance to someone you know. Actually, it's you. And you get closer and closer to the surface of your own skin. As you pass through your own skin, you become aware that the density of molecules around you goes up. Because this is now solid matter. Remember that you're the size of a single molecule, so as you travel through your own body, you notice its utter vastness. It is huge. The billions of molecules that make up each cell, the trillions of cells that make up the whole organism. It's almost as if the body itself is like a galaxy, these countless elements working together to create a living, magnificent being. And so, you're on your little adventure, and you spend some time inside your body, travel around, check things out. Here's a liver, here's a kidney, here's some muscles, here's some bone, here's your brain, and then you, boop, travel past the skin of yourself and back into the atmosphere. And then you zip into another body, the skin of another person. And you zip around, and then boop, into another body that's just as vast, just as awe-inspiring as the last one. In fact, it's hard to distinguish between the two. It's, you know, it's almost like they drop you in one galaxy, and they drop you in another galaxy, just as vast, just as luminous. As you travel to another body and another, and you pop out and go through another body and another, you notice all the ways in which they are similar to one another while maintaining their individuality, just like those galaxies you were looking at from outer space. And now you're moving faster and faster, journeying through body after body, and you start to see each cell in the body as a star inside that galaxy of cells, that body which is a conglomeration of all those cells. You travel through the bodies of animals, of plants, of every living being, zipping through all of them with incredible speed, and see them all as they truly are, as expressions of one essence, one truth, and noticing that once you're inside any living thing, they all look pretty similar to each other. As you do that, you eventually return back to your own body. Come back to that first person you met on Earth, your own body. And the molecule of air goes inside you, and you expand and expand and expand until you inhabit it fully. So now you are the galaxy. You have filled out to become your body. You are that vastness. You are that aggregation of hundreds of billions of little stars called your cells. And you can now appreciate the vastness of you and also the kinship you have with everything else in the world. How similar you are to one another. How you all really come from the same essence. Feel that kinship now as you bow your head in reverence to your own magnificence and the magnificence of all creation and all those galaxies, and also to all those stars, because you are made of that star stuff. And when you're ready, go ahead and open your eyes and come back to the present time and place. Okay. That should be an interesting journey. If you have not taken it before. Let me open the line here for a second.
Conference unmuted.
How you all doing?
Good.
What did you get out of that that meditation? Anybody want to feel free to chime in? You don't have to if you don't want to, if you're still kind of in that meditative zone.
Maybe that we're all very similar and the same. Sometimes we look at men as being opposites, or we don't understand them, and really they have the same kind of insecurities that we have.
That is absolutely correct. And, you know, I had a teacher back in Los Angeles for several years, and the one thing that I learned from him is that, you know, we all think we have this one particular problem, and it's so specific to us, and, you know, we are dedicated to owning that problem. It's like, oh, it's mine, and it's special. And we sat in these circles, and we shared what was really going on in our hearts and minds, and what we realized is that it's always the same problem, and it's almost as if it's just one person in that room. And the problem just keeps on coming up again. And so, you know, there's two great things about that, which is first you realize that, hey, I'm not alone in this. And B, if everybody has the same problem, maybe it's just a feature, not a bug. So, and this problem, you know, if you were to look at it in its most simplified form, is the I am not enough problem. And somehow everybody else is doing great and I'm not. And it's just not true. And once you really appreciate the magnificence of who you are, and this is not a joke. I mean, you really did start out as one cell, and now you're 70 trillion cells all working together. That, if that's not a miracle, I don't know what is. So once you become more familiar with the miraculous nature of your own being and start to appreciate other people's, it becomes much easier to connect. Because now you're saying, hey, I know my power, and hey, I see your power, and I can help you see your power too. So now you're really bringing something powerful to the table. So thank you for sharing. Any more comments, thoughts, questions before we keep moving? All right, we've got about 10 more minutes of material that I want to convey to you. So I'm going to turn the line off.
Conference muted.
Okay, so this six-week series is mostly about you. However, it's also about guys. Okay, in the end, you do want to meet them. You want to have some skills. And regarding that, in this first session, I want to remind you that fulfillment is not a person. Fulfillment is a feeling. It's a set of feelings. And the idea is that if a guy's company isn't catalyzing fulfillment feelings in you, like joy, happiness, growth, compassion, open-heartedness, right? You are probably with the wrong guy. So do not use the checklist system, especially if that's what you've been working up at this point and has not been giving you the results. So you think that if he has a certain kind of job, makes a certain amount of money, has a certain hair color, has a certain height, is a certain race, that's going to be your fulfillment. And that has no correlation with your fulfillment. The only thing that correlates is how he makes you feel. And it's also not how he makes you feel. It's more about, you know, what kind of energies does he draw out in you? What does he bring up in you? Are you the best possible version of you? Because I know different people bring out different versions of me. If I'm with somebody who's really sweet and really nice, I notice I'm going around, I'm more open-hearted. I see more beautiful things in the world. Somebody else brings out the snarky in me, and I'm making nasty comments and putting things down and criticizing things. So notice that about yourself, and know that we are all these. Everybody is an energetic creature, and we're drawing different kinds of energy in one another in ways that science cannot even fathom. But it's real. You know this happens. So acknowledge that and keep this in the forefront of your mind. Fulfillment is not a person. Fulfillment is a feeling. And in a way, anytime you've targeted someone and say, ah, that's the one I want, and gone after it, you're effectively getting rid of this central concept. You're saying, that person is going to be my fulfillment. But really what you're doing is you're gambling, because he may or may not be your fulfillment. You have no idea. The only way you can know is by hanging out with someone and noticing, I like this version of me better. And there's also this notion that relationships are about sacrifice. And I really don't agree with that. Relationships are about mutual growth. And the idea is that somebody catalyzes growth in you, and you in turn catalyze growth in the other person. That's going to be a good match. It's not about, oh, let me just bring out the best in other people. No. You. You are the gift of the world. You need to take care of you first. So you want to make sure that you're fulfilling your mission is to give your greatest gift to the world. So your gift to the world is not taking care of Bobby Brown if your name is Whitney Houston. That is wasting your gift to the world. Okay? And a really big important thing is that if you're stuck in a bad relationship right now, it's time to snap out of it, girl. Okay? It's difficult to do on your own, so please get help. It's just like a drug addiction, and it registers in your brain in exactly the same way. Heroin goes to the same place as a bad boyfriend. You get stuck on, and you're addicted physically, all these juices running through your brain, especially if the sex is good. Terrible, terrible, terrible thing. So I've written a whole article about this. The short version is you want to take a minimum 2-week break with zero communication. Zero. None. No email, no phone, nothing. You want to get out of town, and you want to ask friends to help keep you apart. You cannot have contact. This is how you allow your brain to come back to normal. It's similar to the detox procedure if you go into rehab. So you must create your own little rehab program. So read that article on toxic mates on the blog, and that will give you a roadmap for what you should do. And also, just remember, if you spend time on someone, you've been in a relationship with someone, it's just like money put in a slot machine. It's gone forever. Unfortunately, that's not how people operate. And I call it the slot machine theory of human behavior. People just aren't very good at understanding the concept of sunk costs. Every additional coin you put in a slot machine does not increase the probability of payoff. Every pull is the same probability of payoff. So you put money in there, it's gone. You haven't invested it because you're not going to get anything back from that investment. So if you were in a bad relationship for 2.5 years, you're never getting those 2.5 years back. So do not put in good years after bad. Cut it off, move forward, and start living your life the way you want to. There is no investment because that's not going to pay off. Okay? Now, most of what I'm going to talk about will be applicable to pretty much anyone. So the concept of no self, anatta, that works. Being a conduit, that's useful. At the same time, some of you may have specific challenges, which is why I'm having you fill out applications before we start next week. And these aren't really applications. They're more like just questionnaires. Like, okay, where are you starting? What do you want? Where do you want to be? And it could be that some of you are really busy and you don't get out. Then I know to emphasize that for you. It could be that you live in a small town with only so many men of your education level. That's a challenge. It may be that you were in a relationship for a long time, 10, 20 years of marriage, and you've been out of the game for a while. You don't know what the rules are. These things are useful for me to know. And all that is okay. We all have some kind of challenge. The key is to not let that become an excuse for not manifesting your true power. Do not buy into your own story. It's just a story. We are here to forge a new you. We're here to write a new story that serves you, as opposed to that haphazard story of stuff that already happened, which is probably holding you back right now. Okay? And for some of you, one of the results of this program will be to realize how much more similar you are to everyone else, as opposed to being different, and how much all of you who are in the program are going to pretty much have similar issues. So that usually is a big aha for people and very encouraging, because you realize I am not alone and I am not a freak. And most people spend a whole lot of time, way too much time and energy, in my opinion, putting themselves down. So we're going to stop that habit right now. And some people call this understanding. Some people call it an opening of the heart. Some call it enlightenment. I call it feeling good about the world. You just realize, hey, this is the way the world is. I'm okay. You're okay. And in any case, it's the question and answers at the end and the emails that's going to fill in that specific part. It's like, okay, this is my particular challenge. And again, I guarantee you that is not going to be a specific thing. I've gotten thousands upon thousands of letters from you over the years, and I know it's basically the same few problems that everybody seems to have. So, to wrap this up, some housekeeping. These are the things I'm going to ask you to do, which are not optional. There's going to be exercises during the calls and after. There are going to be drills, and there are going to be vehicles. Vehicles are experiences. You're going to hear about those next week. I'm going to suggest things for you to do which will positively affect your life. And these are radical suggestions. Some of them are way out there, like stop reading women's magazines, especially if you've been doing that every month, three of them for the past 20 years, okay? And the idea is that you're here to cultivate a strong, calm mind. You're here to cultivate mindfulness, which is going to be the essence of everything you're going to do from now on, so you're more empowered and getting more of what you want, as opposed to letting accident happen to you and settling for that, okay? So, stop reading magazines, stop watching TV. Avoid news in general, maybe from just one source on a weekly basis, like The Economist website or something, right? But that's it. There's nothing new about news. Sub sol da nihil novum, nothing new under the sun. It's the same newspaper every day. They just change around the order of things and the names. Believe me, something burned, something got stolen, somebody died. It's also the concentration of all the nastiness and pain in the world all in one spot, ignoring the trillions of miracles that are happening around you, okay? It's like you're in your home, everything is beautiful and clean and lovely, and all you're doing is going under your bed and looking for dust buffaloes. That is what you're doing when you read a newspaper or news in general, okay? What I want you to do is to cultivate honey consciousness versus pond consciousness. What's that all about? So honey, you take a jar of honey, you jiggle it, you push it, guess what? It does not fluctuate. It doesn't jostle, right? You take a glass of water or a pond, you drop something into it, it ripples, it starts to fluctuate. So one is easily perturbed, the other is not. I want you to be the honey. There's a pun in there somewhere. I want you to be the one that is not perturbed. And you do this by cultivating new habits of mind and thought and getting started on this meditation business, which we're going to do a little bit of during the classes. And plan on staying put for at least 15 minutes after the call so you can review notes and to finish up exercise that you think required more time, like the values exercise. Maybe I went through it too fast, or maybe you want to go to your book and check it out. Let it really sink in. And, you know, if you can help it, don't go immediately to check email and do other distracting things, okay? And I'll be doing most of the exercises with you at the same time, so we're all in the same boat, and partially because this class is about humility. It's about just saying, hey, I don't know. I don't have the answers. So I'm assuming that's why you're taking the class, because you want to learn something new that you don't already know. And that is essential to learning. The millisecond you say you think you know something, that is when the doors of learning slam shut and you are screwed forever and all time, because that means no good information has room to get in anymore. So this has happened to me a lot. That's why I know about it. Just stay open. Even if it sounds elementary, even if it sounds totally primitive and lame and stupid, I urge you to keep the doors open and listen and test stuff out. You know, go a week without women's magazine and see how that feels. Toss your bathroom scale and see how that feels. And you're like, I actually like this a little better. This whole idea of judging myself every morning and then telling myself how miserable I am and how horrible a person I am, maybe I don't need that. Stuff to consider. Okay. So more mechanics for the course. Keep a calendar. Have your social events compiled on them so you know what's coming up. That's good for both being able to invite people and also to keep track of your progress. If you had, you know, one event every 2 weeks before and now you have two or three every week, hey, that's a huge improvement. That's like a 4 or 5-fold improvement. So it's important to track your progress so you know it's occurring. Keep a chronological list of the men you meet. When you meet them, where you meet them, description, and some keywords. This is good for two reasons. One, again, you'll notice if you're meeting more of them. Two, it's a great way to keep track of them and to know what they're all about. I mean, you're going to meet so many guys, you want to keep track of them. An Excel spreadsheet, great idea. Or you can just do it on a piece of paper, however you do it, but keep that chronological list. It's going to also be good when you start throwing parties and you want to invite people. Boom, it's all in one place. You can do the invitations in like 2 minutes flat. Keep a journal of your progress and write in it at least one line a day, because what you measure tends to improve. This is called the Hawthorne effect by some. And the idea is that, look, just write a line saying, hey, I went out and I smiled at someone. Something that trivial. The idea is you want to have small wins. When you have small wins, your brain gets directionalized and wants more small wins. So don't set the goal as I'm getting married next Wednesday, because that is not a goal that is realistic, and then you get disappointed and then all progress is lost. Set tiny little goals that you're going to be able to reach. That's what I'm here for. I'm going to coach you through that. I'm going to guide you through that. You're a personal trainer for small wins. Set aside 1 hour a day for exercises, okay? And give yourself one day off completely per week. So the idea is, so 6 days out of 7, I want you to spend 1 hour doing the exercises. Now, this does not which may sound difficult, but it's really not. I mean, I'm going to give you exercises like, hey, everybody you see, smile at him. Everybody you see, look at him directly in the eye. So this means that as you're on your commute, just look people directly in the eye. As you're at work, look them in the eye. You can do 7 hours of that in a day if you want to. But what I'm saying is do at least 1 hour. Set this aside. This is your time. This is your training. This is an investment for the rest of your life for the next 40, 50, 60 years. Okay? If you fall behind, no big deal. We have recordings. Do them at your own pace. No guilt or shame is allowed in this course. So I want you to do well. And if it takes you 12 weeks to do it instead of 6, no problem. That's how long it takes you to do it. Better 12 weeks than 12 years. And if you've been doing things wrong for the past 12 years, hey, why not give yourself a week per year spent doing it wrong to fix it? That is totally reasonable. It's best if you can keep up with it so you can come to the classes. However, set expectations so you're setting yourself up for small wins again. So, that said, you have assignments for this class. First assignment is reading, and I do want you to reread The Tao of Dating, starting with the introduction and up to chapter 3. That's pages 15 to 74. I would like you to acquire a copy of A Woman's Worth by Marianne Williamson. I believe you can get the ebook, and you can also get copies of the book itself. Read chapters 1 and 2. I want you to listen to the lecture, How to Be a Modern Goddess. It's about 50 minutes, and it is available at taobdating.com/goddess/coursematerial.php. You will all get this assignment later via email. I want you to listen to the Galactic Consciousness Meditation once a day. This came with your purchase of the Tao of Dating. You can find it online. Once again, I'll send it to you again so you have it on hand. So this is more optional. In the prior course, she was one of the live speakers. This time, she's not. But I really think this book is beneficial. It's called The Love Response by Dr. Eva Selhoop. So you can either buy that book and read it, or you can listen to a lecture from Project Irresistible 2010, which is available at the Project Irresistible home base. And I'm also going to subscribe you to the Gratitude Project starting tomorrow. So you're going to start a gratitude log and record 5 things you're grateful for every day. The emails will just be a reminder. And again, the more of this you do, the more benefit you get out of it. And some people like it better when they do it once a week. That's fine too. You're going to get the emails daily. So take 30 seconds and notice 5 things you're grateful for. And if you can write them down, fabulous. Writing them down, the five things that you're grateful for every day, miraculous effects. Highly recommended. And finally, if you've got a lingering bad relationship still going on, read the How to Toss Toxic Mates article and set a deadline for yourself to do what needs to be done, which means leave the relationship, okay? Whether you have to call a friend to make you accountable, go to stick.com, S-T-I-C-K-K.com, and put a contract on yourself. Hey, I'm going to wager $1,000. I'm going to do this. If I don't, that money is gone. This is the first order of business. You must engage in some creative destruction so you can make room for the new. And that is all I have to say to you today for the first session of Project Irresistible 2014, your healthiest, happiest love life, how to feel great, be fulfilled, and maybe even get the guys.